Okay, so you're going to laugh at the topic. I apologize if you laugh at it. I'm trying to do topics that somewhat relate to the situation that we find ourselves in. Be'ezrat Hashem na'aseh v'natzliach. We dedicate our shurim, of course, to Acheinu b'nei Yisrael ha'nesunim betzara, specifically to the Tzva Hagana l'Yisrael ha'omdima shmar tzeinu, the many bereaved families in this very difficult time, the many families who are davening as we daven for all the nedarim, and for all, specifically Tzva Hagana l'Yisrael, especially in our own community, many of your brothers, and my son, and we should be zoicha to only good things. So I know this sounds a little funny, but I was reminded of Rav Rimon. We'll just make up the story anyway if it's not true. But it was Rav Rimon. I think it was in the yeshiva where he was speaking to the guys, and he told an amazing, amazing story. And the story was as follows. He said that. So it was during the time of the war, the last Gaza incursion, and a bunch of, this is one of them that they actually went into Gaza. So they find themselves into Gaza, and I know this is shocking, but this is Mikam Chol Yisrael. This is one of the so many amazing things, and I like to give a little mussar. So in the little mussar way I could give you, I think you should spend more time than thinking about the bad things, thinking about the good things. Thinking about in our own community, how we have people that are setting up. Nebuch, I feel very, very bad for the soldiers because they're getting so fat with all the food that we're giving them and the chocolate bars. I was yesterday in, Rimon Chazan, and Rav Kaf, the great tzaddik from Ezrat Tachim, was with me. He goes, "Ata chayav lazole." And they don't mean me mamtakim. What would they like? Is a katifim, is a besed over there. And then I told them that half the stuff there is not kosher, so let's get stuff that's kosher there. They're making sandwiches on this corner and that corner. We have to look at the good more than the other. Forget about the other stuff and get. I agree. Erase your Instagram. Erase your TikTok. Forget about it. Look at the great things that are happening. Look at I went to yesterday to Aroma. They were packing sandwiches, and this place is collecting for the South. And this, it's really, really beautiful. And I have to tell you that I received a personal message from somebody who's mamish in the South, Nebuch, a psychologist who's been there for days helping people there. And she wanted to make people feel happy. So what she did was is that she said, "I want to show you what our own shul is doing." And the woman started crying. She says, "A bit kinesa techat shul simetan. Why is it all you want?" Anyway, back to the story. So Rav Rimon. So Rav Rimon gets a call from Gaza, from a guy. "Ha shalom, Rav Rimon." He's like, "Where are you calling from?" It says, Palestine. Where are you calling from? So he says, "I'm in somebody's house in Gaza, and we're really thirsty." And we open the refrigerator, and they have the little shekel cokes, I don't know, whatever. There's something there to drink. I don't know, it has, Badatz Eid Charedis on it, it's okay. Whatever, Eid Charedis of Gaza. Can we drink? Can we take stuff in the time of war? So there are a lot of halachas, which obviously this is not today's shiur, of during the time of war, people are allowed to take things. And he said, obviously, if you're in state of pekuach nefesh, inshallah, there's no question at all. But if just, it's orange juice, you can take water, but I want to take orange juice. So he said, we're an army that works on lufnim mishuras adin, and it's not considered to be stealing halachically. But if you can withhold, you can. You don't need a chocolate bar. And this is obviously the army of Israel is well known for this. Unfortunately, nobody else is well known for it, and nobody really cares. It got me to thinking about all these different things. And the reason why I really thought of it, and this is really embarrassing, but I like to tell you my life story. Yesterday, I was very excited. Somebody knocked on the door. We were getting a few knocks on the door where really amazing people from our community said, "Oh, your son's in the army. No, here's, we made you a cake. We made you some." And this woman comes to the door and she has maybe 100 cookies. And I smelled them like a block away. What is that? Fresh chocolate chip cookies. I was so excited. I had just eaten so much, but I had room. I want to be like the soldiers and eat a lot. And I was so excited. And I'm like, "Thank you so much." And in my mind, I knew exactly what it was for. It's for me, Mein Bach, as we say in Yiddish. And my stomach. And I'm thinking, and then she says to me, "Thank you so much. Your wife knows about this. It's for the people from the South that we're collecting for." And I'm like, "No." She's like, "Oh my God, do they have too much stuff?" I'm like, no, it's okay. So I was thinking, halachically, I could probably take a cookie. It's meiser. Can I? So this comes into the topic of, can we borrow things? And I'll tell you the truth. I have, well, I'm really telling you my whole life story now. I have a very bad addiction. I'm addicted to Coke Zero. And yeah, it's a really bad problem. And one of my favorite things in the world is to go to a wedding. By the way, when I go to weddings, I don't write the check right away. The check is based on what I ate at the wedding, right? If I can eat 300 shekel, 400, or 500 shekel, okay, you know, it's bad. Don't tell your friends this story. New tachlis. So what's the biggest, highest level wedding? The worst level wedding is you get there and there's Pepsi Max. Rahman al-Islam, law alayna. Then I give the people a lot of money because they're obviously very, very poor. Then the second level is you have Coke, but it's hot. Right? Third level is you have Coke in bottles. But the highest level, mahadrim in a mahadrim, eid l'charedis, badats, is glass bottles. Oh, she'en kamoho. So I have a question for you. I'm throwing out the question. I want you to answer the question. The night is over. And there's a lot of glass bottles left on the table. No. Can I take one? Can I take two? Can I take three? Can I take five? It's great. Seven. Seven, right? Right, right. I don't want to be like your father. I mean, like, seven, right? What do you think, guys? Can I take? Nu? Yeshiva Bachrim? Hopefully, yes. I want a Svara. Can you take? How many? Why? Anyone?
What are the owners of the
Simcha? So let's start with this. This is a question for everybody here. Who owns that bottle of soda? Who owns that glass bottle? Who do you think owns it? Who does it belong to at this moment? I'm at the wedding, it's on the table. Who?
The bottle of the wedding.
The bottle of the wedding. Do we all vote for that? Good. Depends. It's a machalikas. The Rashba and the Ritva. No. So that's a good question. So, a number of, this goes back probably a year ago, every morning there's a nice little, we all on these WhatsApp groups. So I get this from some Rav, I don't know who he is, Rav Chayat. He must be very important because his picture when it starts is a picture of him and Rav Avad Yosef. Okay, so I assume he's a big rabbi. And he discusses this exact question and he says, Nu, tagili, ma? He goes, Ze isur gizela, chi chamor sheyesh. You know, and he says all these stuff. I'm going to go to hell and that. And I'm like, what? So here's what his taina is. His taina is like this. Who owns the bottle of soda? The bottle of soda is not owned by the Baal Simcha. It's owned by the Baal Ulam. Why? Because he has a contract. His contract is, I'll provide your guests with drinks. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put out the drinks b'shefa. I'm going to put out much more drinks than are needed. Right? You come to the Hartstein table and you got the Hartsteins and the Grossman sitting there and this family, they all want Coke Zeros. And there's Coke on the table. Like, what is this Coke table? Nebuch, this Sprite, there's this seltzer on the table. They're not, it just looks nice. There's a lot of different colors. And when the waiter comes, Nebuch, you know, one of you guys, there are the waiters, you know, and you're like, oh, shut up, you know, you're being nice to me. And I know the only reason being nice to me is because you think you're getting a tip. And then I say, I'm American, you think I have small change? I don't take change. And then you do the most disgusting thing ever. We had this the last wedding we went to. He put a sign on the table, Gambit. You know, I almost said bit. It was good. I felt bad. I had to send the money. So that's that. So the taina is that no. What happens at the end? Now you see this for all the ulams. The first thing they do when they clean the tables, they take all the sodas back. So he tainas the sodas. If the Baal Simcha, you could argue the Baal Simcha could care less. If you go up to the Baal Simcha and you say to him, hey, can I take some sodas? He's like, yeah. You know how much money it was a plate? Take as many sodas as you want. You know. Just like we would never think, right, you're sitting at the table, and my wife, no, that's not true, my wife says, wow, these are beautiful glasses, they're gorgeous. I go, oh, that's fine, it's our table, we own the table, take the glass, how many do you want, 12, you know, and bring the car, beep, beep, bring the car back, nobody would say that that's normal. So he tainas that it's owned by the Baal Simcha. Now, so what are you going to say to me? I'm going to get rishus. Who am I going to get rishus from? I'm going to ask the waiter. The same waiter that just gave me his bid account, what do you think he's going to say? Yeah, I don't care. Are you going to get more money? Yeah, sure. He's not in charge. So now you're going to go ahead and find the person who runs the ulam and say, Slicha, yeshi baya, you know, I have an addiction, and Coke Zero, is that? And the guy's like, what? Question. That's really today's question. What can you take? Others want to argue that that's not true, that maybe it is the Baal Simcha, and that happened to be that the last wedding we were at, so I stopped, because of this rabbi, I stopped taking the Coke. Anyway, so it was Rabbi Vita Milansky's wedding. So he came to my table and he says to me, I hope you're going to take a Coke Zero home. So was like, he's forcing me. What am I going to do? It's not appropriate, whatever. And then I felt bad. And as I was walking out, I saw another person on our block. I'm not mentioning any names. His father, I'm not mentioning any names. I don't know. He must have had, I don't know. I don't know. He bought like a box with that. He had a lot. There was a lot. The only problem when you take the glass bottles is when you're leaving, you know what happens? And you pass the security guard. If you take more than one, they're cling, 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 cling. You know, you're making music as you're leaving, and you're way down. I'm like, goodbye. The guy's like, oh, slicha, kol beseder. Like, cling, cling, cling. Fine. So let's get into the sugya and see if this is really true. Now, I think everybody here has been to a hotel. So this is the shaila by hotels. You go to a hotel, new, what can you take out of the hotel? Right? Oh. Can you go to breakfast and say, Nabuch, you know what every person says, we need falada, a chutzpah. They don't provide, they only provide breakfast and dinner. What about falada? We need falada, right? Okay, that's true. So let's see. Source number one, that you're going to be upset about this. I'm sorry. This is going to be a very upsetting shiur. Tell me if you agree with me. Gemara, Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samachay, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Rov Begeza. Anachlu Midabrim Achshav Al Yehudim. Not goyim. Most Jews steal. Huh? Maybe in, you know, America, not us. What's going on there? Umiyut barayos. I agree with that. I hope. The hakol b'lashon hara. So the other two statements are true. Hakol b'lashon hara, 100%. You want to hear something really? No. We all tell lashon hara. Zeh ma she'anachnu osim. Ma zeh rov begezel. Most Jews steal? I hope that's not true. Right? Number two, the Rashbam. Right on the staff, the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Rov begezel, Rov b'nei Adam, choshtim al gezel, kein gezel. Shomim heter b'maseh u'matan. No, they do something called justified stealing. But say, you're in yeshiva, right? You guys go to yeshiva, you girls, I don't know, midrashah, I don't know, whatever you are, fine. You go to high school, whatever. So you go into the yeshiva, this is a ma'isa shahaya kachaya, and you go into yeshiva, and you're nebuch in the middle of nowhere, right? You're in the middle of nowhere, the boondocks. So now what are you going to do? You're going to go to the... So you need cups. You need little plastic cups. And they're not really called cups in Israel. I don't know what those big little things are. But okay, they hold something sometimes. And if you hold it the right way. And so you get... So you can you take a sleeve of cups back to your room? This is a big fight next, right over there. And then there, I used to have it with the boys. So now I speak to a boy from Leva Torah and I say to him, excuse me, what are you doing? Back when I used to work there. Before I was married. And I say to them, Nu, what? What are you doing? He's like, what do you mean, what am I doing? You know, the Americans are very like, what do you think I'm doing? I'm like, it looks like you're taking a sleeve of cups up to your room. He goes, that is what I'm doing. You got a problem? They're like, yeah, I do have a problem. So what does he say to me? He says, why can't I take cups up to my room? My parents paid $30,000 for this stinking yeshiva. The food's terrible. I just had corn schnitzel. I'm taking cups up to my room. Get out of my way. I said, Yeshua's down the block. He goes, Machbatli, Yeshua's down the block. Cool. Right? That's Rov Begezel. And I try to explain. And he doesn't understand what I'm saying to him. Why? Because as the Rashbam says, Lehetera. Morin Lehetera. Mazimutama. The same kid, I don't think, would walk into Yesh now and steal the... He wouldn't take the cops and say, no, it's Yesh. No. Right? Or he maybe, you know, he wouldn't go in America and, you know, there's a big machlekas with, you know, this new place, what's it called in Beit Shemesh? I don't know how to say it appropriately. How do you say it? Yeah, careful. This French place, they won't open up in the Shtachim. So you're really mad and you start stealing things. You say, Slecha, ta gonev kol adam. Lo, ani lo gonev. Mayim osim, hem lo b'shtachim, ze lo b'seder, mayim. You know, these Nazis. Right, okay. What does that have to do with anything? In a terrible bazaar. Nobody would do that. But here you're taking cups. Here you go downstairs to the breakfast and you're storing, you're taking breakfast for like the whole army, you know. And when the guy comes up to you, he says, excuse me, you can't take this out. He goes, do you know we're at war? Excuse me, I'm taking this to the Gedud Shmona Matayim. You can't do that. That's the Shiloh today. What level do we stop and say, Zebeseda, Zalobeseda? It's not easy. That's what we'll discuss. Where does this halacha come from? Look at source number three, the Rambam, Hilchos Geneva. Kol ha-goynev mamon misheva prutu lamala oiver alo sase. Yesh isur batorah. We know this. This is isur lo tignovu. You're not allowed to steal. Stealing is a filu misheva pruta. I can't figure out. Maybe you could help me with this. What would be something that's less than a sheva pruta? You know, what's something less? I thought maybe if you steal someone's pen, you know, you take a pen and you write your name or something. Maybe that's not a sheva pruta. I don't know. Whatever. That's stealing anything. So you can't even say, what's the big deal? Rebbe, what's a cup? I'm taking a cup to my room. It's not, maybe, it may not be a shevet pruta, but it does cost now, you know, with the prices that went up. That's halacha. V'ein lokin olav zesh, aray, nitan l'shalim, fine. V'achar goyinev mamon, this is an important point, Rabbi Yisai, this is an important point. V'achar goyinev mamon Yisrael, oh goyinev mamon shel goy, oved avodah zarah, v'achar goyinev eslagot, doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Afilu migoy, this is a very unfortunate thing that people say, oh, what do you mean, you can't steal from the goyim? It's a mitzvah to cheat on your taxes. The goyim, the achtoy, you know. Do you know what happened in the Holocaust? What does it have to do with the Holocaust? Have to do with America 2024? I don't understand. Right? And the Rambam is very stark on this, and there are many, many other poskim that this Rambam, the Rush, the Riff, the Beis Yosef, all say that it's the Isser, and this is a Shailin Halacha, if you want to get to a little lumdus for 1 second, whether or not this is an Isser Doraisa to steal from a guy, which is an important thing. The Yerushalmi in Bava Kamma, Meforish says, that is an Isser Min HaTorah. Gezel Akum is an Isser Min HaTorah. And Shema, you would think, what does Akum really mean? Oved Avodah Zarah, people Oved Avodah Zarah. You would say, oh, but nowadays, that doesn't matter who they are. Even their Mamish Oved Avodah Zarah, it would be Aser. Some want to argue, which is really interesting, that it's actually a worse of an Isser to steal from a guy, because we don't have all the heterim, if you will, of, right, here, okay, you're mataking your thing by paying dalad v'hei, that's only to a Jew. Yes, there are some unique halachas that don't apply to Goyim. For example, hashavas aveda, assuming that's not the law of the land, right? Right, ribit, of course. And what do you call it? Toos akam is a very typical thing that happens, right? You go into a supermarket in America or whatever, Canada or England, wherever you're from originally, and you come in and you go into the place and you give the person cash and they give you back too much change, right? You give them a $20 bill, they thought you gave them the $50 and they give you back all this cash. So the first thing as a Jew, you're like, oh my God, this is awesome, you know? So it's called Toos akam. So Toos akam, if it's a Jew, or you can't ascertain, you're not sure, you know, it's you're sitting in ShopRite or you're sitting in Costco, so you wait to, excuse me, 1 second, and you Google it, and you're like, ah, it's owned by, Joe Christian Smith. Ah, just go ahead, goodbye, you know. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you have an opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Hashem, and turn to them with your yarmulke on and say, Hinei Muchen Mezumen and Lekayim Mitzvahs, you know, right? And you can say to them, excuse me, I want to return the money. That is a Kiddush Hashem. You should return the money. If it's a situation where you can't get around it, I'll give you an example. I was in a supermarket back in the day I lived in America. It was a Sunday and everything was crowded. And this woman gave me back too much change, like way too much change. And I took the money and I said, "Ooh, I'm so sorry." I said, "You actually gave me back too much change." She looked at me and she said, "No, I didn't." I'm like, no, dear. What I'm trying to tell you is I don't want you to get in trouble later. And then she looked at me. I couldn't believe this. With a full line of people. She goes, you all Jews all the same. You think you know your money. No. And she starts going off on Jews. And I'm like, okay, now I'm leaving. Now I'm taking the money. And then I took more stuff. No. So, meaning if you could do a Kiddush Hashem, you're shkayach. One more story. I'm in Target. My worst place in the world. I hate Target with a passion. Some people, the fancy people who start Target. So I was in, let's care for it. I was in Target, and I love, I don't know why, but especially in America, I love doing the automatic machines. I love that. I feel like I'm doing, I feel like I work there now, you know? I'm like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. So I'm in the automatic machines, and as I'm about to pay, I always pay with credit card, I see that there are four crisp $20 bills in the change thing. Somebody left the money there, or by mistake it came out. It's $80 there. And I'm like, the same thing, looking around. And I'm like, oh my God, I saw the show on TV. This is the show where there's cameras all around, right? And they're going to see what. And I'm like, oh my God, my yarmulke, this. I took my tzitzis out. And I'm putting my hair. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And I, you know, put my gartel on him. And I took the $80 and I go up to the guy and go, hello, my name is Rabbi Daniel Hartstein. I am returning this because Orthodox Jews say that we should return it. And it's a Kiddush Hashem, the Rambam, Gezok, to this, and that. And then he looks at him and he says, the Rambam says that, but if you look at the Lechem Mishnah, he doesn't. No. The guy looks at me like I'm a nut job. He takes the money. He's like, okay. And he puts it in his pocket, meaning I don't even know if, I think he's taking it for himself. And as I left there, I was like, shoot, That was bad. Yeah. And then I said, no. This is it. This no. That money will never do me good. Nachon, talut akum, I don't have to return it. Still, a person has to recognize that even if it's a talut akum, there was a great Rav by the name of Rav Michal Beryl Weissmandel. And he tells a story that very interesting about the Jews in Germany were known to be very, very yasher. They were very, very yasher. And he said that when he was speaking, he was a survivor of the Holocaust. And he said that it's a strange thing that everything happened in Poland. And he was saying that there was something to the yasher. So they tell the story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. We quoted him yesterday. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was asked when he was Rav of a town what to do about the following problem. All right, in those days, you would go to the post office kind of to do everything. Like, here it is, to do everything. So the post office, they noticed that the guy who was running the post office, the new postmaster general, when you went into the post office, he always would give people back too much change. He didn't know what he was doing. So you would buy a book of stamps for, 5 ruble, and he would give you back 10 ruble, whatever. And they asked, what should we do? Tosako. He said, I think he's testing us. Do me a favor. Every Jew says, Paskin, everybody return the money. Return the money to him. And if he does too much, sell him right on the spot. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky tells that Baruch Hashem, he was saved from the Holocaust. It's a whole amazing story because he was supposed to go to a town that was Nebuch. Everybody was killed from that town and he was saved. And he tells over that he had found out later on that when the Jews of this town went to be killed, this is the first town that he was in, this postmaster became a Nazi thing, and he let a lot of the Jews that he knew, he says, no, these are good Jews. He goes, I used to trick them. He was testing them. They were the only ones. All the guy would always take the money. The Jews never took the money. So there's something very, very positive about a person recognizing and realizing it's not my money. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is the same way. Aser lignov, source number 4, afilu kolshu din Torah, v'aser lignov afilu derech schok. Afilu amanas lahachzir. This is a very important thing. We sometimes violate this, right? Your friend goes out for a minute and he left his watch. I would say he left his phone, but that's impossible. You know, if somebody's going to the bathroom, that's why they're going to the bathroom. They probably don't even have to go to the bathroom. They're just going to their Rebbe, I need to go to the bathroom. Like, you know, why are you taking your phone? Yeah, okay, I know all the tricks. But imagine the case, all right? Rav Hartstein wants to play a joke on somebody. So what do? A guy goes to the bathroom. Shockingly, it's like leaving his arm in class. He leaves his phone there. And I'm like, you know what? This guy's addicted to his phone. It bothers me so much. And what do? I take his phone away. Guys, you're going to have a great time with him, right? So the kid comes back into class. And what does the kid do? The kid comes back into class right away. And everybody knows. No, he doesn't know anybody knows what he's got. And he's looking around, right? And he looks in his arms and his legs and his pockets. And we don't say anything. So automatically, his first thing, he runs back to the bathroom. And of course, he opens the stall and looks in the toilet. Thinks maybe it dropped in the toilet. It's not there. Finally, he comes back to class, and what does Rav Hartstein say? I was just kidding. You're addicted. Look how much. Oh, Rebbe, that was a good one. Oh. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's called Geneva. Amanas Chok. So much so, halachically, you may fall into a really big problem that I now become a Ganov. I become a Ganov. And what happens in the following case? Rav Yaakov Pam, who later took over for Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Torah Vadas. He was known to be the most erlich. His students are very well known to be very straight people. Don't take anything that. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, this was the story. Sorry, Rav Pam. In those days, Baruch Hashem, they weren't addicted to their phones. There was one kid in the yeshiva, he was addicted to his camera. He bought this fancy shmanty camera. He loved to take pictures. So every day he would go out right after Seder and take pictures in Brooklyn. And the guys in his room were like, stop already with the pictures. So they decided to, as a joke, to steal his camera once. So they stole his camera. The guy comes back. He's like, hey, have you seen my camera? I'm like, oh, we don't know. Oh, yeah. And he's looking around. He cannot find the camera. Goes into the cheder ofel, goes into the basement, can't find it. And he says the following words. You know what? I think I might have left it on Ocean Parkway. I'm never going to get it back. Nope. I guess I learned my lesson. I'm done. I'm never going to get it back. What's that called?
Yush.
So, unfortunately, that's yush. And when a person is meyayush something, there's no din of giving it back to him. So they went to what? Right. So it comes along. Take, hey, calm down. The guy's sweating. He says, calm down. And he says, here, take it back. And he says, I don't think I can take it back. They go to Rav Pam, and Rav Pam says, all you that stole it are a bunch of ganavim, halacha ganavim, and now we have a big problem because it was ma'ayashet. It's a big problem. It's a very, it was a ma'ayashet b'chol yom. We play jokes, and you're not allowed to do that. Oh. So now comes along the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5. Maybe, before we get to the source number 5, maybe we can taina the following thing. This is my argument against Rabbi Chayad, who I've never met before, about stealing the sodas, only because I want to steal the sodas. So here's my argument. There is a concept in halacha, obviously well known, called minig medina. The established, what's established? Let me give you an example of minig medina. There's an isser d'oraisa. Listen to what I'm saying to you. There's an isser d'oraisa to speed, right? There's an isser d'oraisa to go on Highway 1. I don't know, then we know the speed limit. Let's say the speed limit is 100. I don't know. I just do whatever I want. 100. It's a suggestion. It's not a suggestion, right? And you start going 210 kilometers. It's an isser d'oraisa. But there's something called minig medina. Right? You could ask any police officer. No police officer is going to pull you over because you went 7 kilometers over the limit. Maybe even 10 kilometers over the limit. I don't know. In America, you know, there's only seven miles over the speed limit. It's called minig medina. That even though there's an established, quote-unquote, halacha, there's an established, there's a minig medina, everybody knows. I want to argue that there are some minig medinas that say, it's fine. You could take one soda with you. It's a known thing. What are you talking about? And when you go to the hotel, right, and they have the little soaps, right, and for some reason you think, you know, Baruch Hashem, I finally realized why we've been stealing soaps for the last 15 years, because now we're giving it to the people from the South. We never did anything with them, but now we have a storehouse of soaps, and this and these people are going to be, oh, David Citadel, oh, the Hilton, oh, the Waldorf, oh, fine. So that's not considered to be stealing. Why? It's not just there, it's a little bit better, it's not even Minig Medina. You ask the hotel, they'll tell you. Zimutar, of course. Well, we don't care. The TV? No. Right? That's not okay. The robes even, not okay. My wife told a story once. She used to teach in, I'm not going to say where, it's very, and she, a girl was very sick. She went to a visitor. She brought her chicken soup, and she brings her chicken soup. The girl goes, oh, I'm so sick. Right? She comes down. She's wearing a King David robe. My wife's like, where did you get that robe from? She's like, oh my God, you probably don't even know. Like, oh my God. My grandparents stayed at the King David, and I was like with them, and they're like, oh my God, it's $700 a night. The least you can do is like take the robe. But you can't take the robe. I'm sorry. Even if you spend $700, even if you spend $1,000 a night, right? Unless, obviously, they give you permission. You could call down and ask. I once did that. I called down and I said, hi. It just happened to me. What's the story with the robes? Can I take them? She's like, you're a guest at the hotel? Of course you can take them. No problem. Take them. And I'm like, I think you don't understand English. When I say take them, I mean, can I take them home? She's like, lo, be'emet lo, ma'ata, b'shugata, lo yichal kachat ha'baita. I'm like, okay, how much does it cost? She's like, oh, the chodek knot is there. Ze 250 shekel. I go, lechad? You know, okay, no. But I do think that there's an established minig medina. So let me give you an example. You're going on a tiul, and you're walking in the forest, and, you know, and you see a beautiful orange tree. I don't know, whatever, an orange tree. And you look at your friend and you say, "Nu, ma ta choshev? Afshar lakachat echad mehem?" No, it's private. It's somebody's pardes. You know? Well, you can't take one? Take one. Why not? Take one. The minig medina. The guy's going to care? You know already that I'm going to have to go now all the way to find the farmhouse and say, "Slicha, afshar lakachat echad from the thousands that you have?" Of course he's going to let you. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and says, "Asur ligzol ula'ashok afilu kolshu. Ben Yisrael ben Moved kachavim. V'im hu davar deleka man kapitle." Shalom machbidim al zeh, shazem minag medina, anashim lochim, zeh beseder. Kigon, lito mechavilam, I get the lechatot, taking a little bit of wheat that fell on the floor, that's okay. Aval, he writes, very interesting, not a normal way the Shulchan Aruch would write this, asur b'yushalmi midas chasidus. Mazem, asur b'yushalmi midas chasidus, what does that mean? So it comes along the Sma, the Sefer Mi'ir Sanayim, and he says something really beautiful. Source number 6. V'af, asur b'yushalmi, lama zeh asur, what does he mean? And he quotes, he says, the Beis Yosef says, others, maybe no Yehud, I think, maybe, to ilu asa kein, kol echad nimsa chavila ke'elo negader v'nares. So now you go on the tiul, and you're with your whole family, and you're with your whole, everybody's there. What happens if you take an orange, and you take an orange, and you take it, and you take it, you all take oranges, what's going to happen in the end? Guess what? The tree has no oranges anymore. So by you taking, everybody's going to look at you and go, psh. Wachenschmacher, yeah, he must be, if he's taking, I mean, he's a big rub, we could all take. Smart, right? Right, it's Mar Zion. Sheer number one, right? Maybe it's Mar Zion also, but no, but so there is a Midos Chasidus over here, and that's kind of what I want to kind of end by discussing today. This is very important, this Midos Chasidus. Maybe it's Mutter, maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe it's not a good thing. What do I mean? If you think that what you're doing is justified stealing, it still has the word stealing in it. It's not so good. There are things that we defined 100%, they're usur, right? Let's say, a guy goes to Lev HaTorah, this, back when I was working in Lev HaTorah, so it bothered me that there was a guy that brought in, some Haredi guy, he brought in a soda machine and a, whatever it's called, Khatif machine. So I called him and I'm like, hi, can we have, like, we don't get any money from this. Money, ten lecha kesef hazeh? Yesh lechem et hazchot shere mevietzeh, but I'm like, well, no, I want money. The next, I said, if you don't give me money, I said, then you have to take it out. The next morning, he took it up, took them out. So the guys were like, we don't have anything to drink. So I bought a soda machine and a chatif machine. The problem is, I brought a used machine, and when the guy brought the machine, I clearly did not understand him. He brought a machine from like Shnata Lodea, from the first Yom Kippur War or something. Like from the, it was this old machine, beep, beep, and the thing went, you know what I'm talking about? So those machines aren't the greatest machines. And sometimes, you know, I said it's like, whatever, I have a good vort. I said it's like tefillah, right? What's tefillah? When we dive into the Rabbeinu Shalom, what do we expect? We expect it to be like a vending machine. And he will say zeh, and he will tell the kabelatze. So, and he will say zeh, I put my money in the machine, I'm a kabelatze. I said, no, tefillah is like my vending machine. Sometimes you press A4, and it goes, and it gets stuck. Zeh tefillah. Rabbeinu Shalom always answers you, but sometimes the answer is no. You don't need fat boy. You don't need those potato chips. You don't need them. But what happens when the chips fall? It doesn't fall. What does he do? Oh, he's mad. He starts shaking the machine, right? And then everything falls, and he says, oh, shkoyach. So I once witnessed, I know you're not going to believe me, a yeshiva boy. He started shaking the machine because his chips didn't fall, and five other things fell. And all of a sudden, he takes all the five things and he starts going up to his room and goes, Slicha, hello, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean, what am I doing? It's your fault. You have a bad machine. It's not my fault that your machine's from the Yom Kippur War. Like, it's from 1973. What do you want me to do? So, no, bayash, it's a bayash shalcha. Have a more secure machine. I go, it's Geneva. I said, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that, Beheteira. Yeah, it's really mutter. It's really mutter. I'll give you a good example. A guy asked me, a yeshiva student asked me this question. So he says, I heard your thing that you said about the vending machines. Okay, now I find myself at an amusement park. I'm in Great Adventure, right? In the middle of America somewhere. And I go to a soda machine, Nebuch, the terrible, horrible Ganovim. And all of a sudden, because it's in a park, a soda's $5. I mean, I don't understand what happened. Fine. He puts his $5 in and Hashem loves him. Two sodas come out. So now what am I supposed to do? So this is a hard one. Why? Because who's he going to return it to? He's going to look around. Excuse me, whose soda is this? Shavas Aveda. The guy. And now what are you going to say? It's not. Just put it up. Just keep it there. Keep it there. So what? Somebody else is going to take it? So that's the question over here. Is there a Midas Chasidus here that we should maybe it's better not to take anything. Maybe it's better not to. Again, if you get Rishus and you're in the. It's funny because I once gave the shiur in a hotel. It was scholar residence in a hotel in Tanya, without the chavitot, and I was in a hotel, and I went to the general manager and said, listen, I'm giving a shir about your hotel. I'm assuming all the answer is no, but let me ask you something. Can you take hotels? Like, can, right? I said, well, in the dining room? What about taking breakfast? There, I said, there's literally a sign. The sign says, please do not take anything out of the dining room. And then it says, we're talking to you, American. No, don't think anything. So he says, oh, ma, zemuta. In bayayim zeh. I'm like, what do you mean, in bayayim zeh? Lo banti. I go, yesh lecha shelet. Nah, shelet is a stam, yesh lanu shelet. Because you can't be a chazer, but we understand that. That's why we have big Israeli breakfast. We understand that people take stuff out. He says, you can't do, I was actually, it's crazy. We were once at the breakfast, and it was the end of breakfast. We were there a little bit late, whatever. And there was like a bunch of like nice cakes left. And all of a sudden, this woman comes up. She takes an entire cake, and she starts to bring it to her room. And the guy says, "Slicha, what are you doing?" She's like, "Breakfast is over." That's it. She's like, "Breakfast is over. Take everything." She's like, first of all, with all due respect, we're going to use that cake tomorrow. And second of all, even if we don't use it for tomorrow, we have a tzevet that didn't eat breakfast yet. Like, so there could be. So, is there any inyan of midos chasidus? So, So my favorite in the entire world, it's actually source number 7, I miswrote. It's not the Minchas Chinuch, it's the Chinuch. The Chinuch in source number, does anybody know who wrote the Chinuch?
No one knows.
No one knows, thank you. That's a good question to ask, everybody screams things out. The Minchas Chinuch we know. The Chinuch, we're not really sure. There's some guesses on who wrote it. The Chinuch, of course, is the compilation of what are the 613 mitzvahs. We have no idea. We actually know that there's not 613 mitzvahs. It's like thousands of mitzvahs, but it's cute to say the 613 so that a guy in, you know, Leva Torah guy is like, okay, I could, you know, and he thinks he can. This year I'm doing all 613 mitzvahs. I'm like, okay, you're going to have to be a Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael at all the same time. You're going to have to be a man and a woman. I mean, I guess nowadays you can. Man and a woman all at the same time, right? You're going to have to, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael and not live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's not happening. Good luck with your nidachas. Okay, anyway, so the Chinuch, I never thought of it this way until the Rav of our shul, in America, Rabbi Soloski, so 15 minutes before Mincha on Shabbos, he gives Sichos Musar. And he was learning a Musar Sefer, and when he finished that, I forgot what it was, Chovos Halavavos, whatever, and when he finished the Musar Sefer, he says, I want to start a new Musar Sefer. You know what it's called? The Chinuch. Huh? And he said, because the Chinuch, if you read it well, it's the greatest Musar Sefer. So let's see what the Chinuch says, and I think Mamash, this is the greatest Musar Sefer. Listen to this. I call this the Shana Aleph Leva Torah question. Okay? Listen. Al tichshov b'nei l'chofesh al divrei ulomar. You know, you free people are going to say, Lama yitzavo utana Hashem yitbarach lasot kol eilo zikarno to'anet. This is talking about Mitzvah Tet Zayin is l'shmor et ha'etzem shel Korban Pesach. We know Pesach, holy cow, there's so many laws. Just about Korban Pesach itself. You have to be the chabura, and you can't stick your head out of the roof, right? Right? Slee, and you can't break the etzem. So, I know what you're going to ask me, Shana Aleph kid. Why do we have all these mitzvahs? V'lo b'zikorn echad yaleh adover, v'lo yishchav hazaro. Why isn't it just one time you come to the Hartstein Seder, according to the Chinuch, and what it is, we just say, Shkoyech, Rabbi Dov Dov, thanks for the grub, Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, let's eat. That's what he's saying. Right? Every Shana Aleph goes like, yeah, what do you have to do all these things for? What do you have to wake up for minyan in the morning? So why is it like this? V'ata b'ni. Listen carefully. If you weren't following along, follow now. Source number 7. Now we're on the third line. Shema zot. This is not a normal lashon. Listen carefully and really listen carefully. Put your ear towards this. V'shama, I'm going to teach you a yisod b'torah v'mitzvot. Da, ki adam nifal kifi pu'ulato. Man is made according to his pu'ulot. V'chol machshavato tamid achar maseh she'osim ba. And here's his line. Achar pu'ulato nimshach levavot. Your heart follows your actions. Bein tov l'ra, right? This is mamish what we're seeing right now. Okay? We're all in a bad situation, a horrible situation, an unprecedented situation. And you know what we could do? 100%, it would be mutter. We can sit in our rooms, crawl up into a ball, and just cry all day. Zimbutan. You can call your teacher. You're supposed to have a Zoom and say, I can't. And what's the teacher going to say to you? You're going to get a zero? No, he understands. But Acha Pulos, we said, no, I'm going to pack sandwiches. I'm going to bring people from the South. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have a tilling gun. I'm going to come at 10 o'clock in the morning, you idiots, to hear a shir from some bozo, right? Because the schut for the Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, the schut for the people, yeah. Acha Pulos, Nimshach Levavos. Guess what? Sorry, you just became great people. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be mean. This was the moment to define yourself. Forget about, I'm sorry to say it like this, but forget about Rosh Hashanah, forget about Yom Kippur, forget about, this is it, this is the defining moment. When the going gets tough, what do you do? I'm in shock. I'm in shock. What people have, I can't explain it, it's like Lo Yuman. Any place I drive and go, right? Even like the thought of, oh, so I have a son in the army, so somebody brought me a cake, who am I? I was on Ben Yehuda. It was very cute. I think I told this already, but I was on Ben Yehuda a few days ago, and it was Mamish, Rick. There was nobody there except there were soldiers protecting us, right? And there was this cute American family who brought pizza pies for soldiers, and they brought them to the soldiers. And I don't know if this is not allowed. I don't, maybe because they were on active duty, they said, we're not allowed to have it. We're really sorry. And you saw they were so sad, the people. So I felt bad. I went up to her, I go, you know, my son's serving in the army. If you want to give me a pie, I could actually eat the whole thing in front of you. It was apple pizza. You know what I'm saying? But these Americans said, we want to do something. I'm sitting on two committees now in America to help people because they don't know where to give the money. And one of the things I said to them is, we have to be, really careful who we give the money to, right? Because I don't, again, it's important. What do our soldiers need? What do the people in the South need? I guarantee you they don't need another chocolate bar. But that's what's happening. Okay, I get it. This is Yesod Gadol in Yahadus. Achru Pulos Nim Shachlavos. So I'm sorry to say, though, if you do something that you know is mutter, but it's a little bit of stealing, it's no mutar. It's not a good thing to do. Achar pulos al nishcha lavavas. Don't do that. I'll give you an example. I don't know why I always give the same example. The example is the following. You find yourself on the wonderful, I don't know, what is it called now? The 600 bus? What's the 6? I don't know bus. I don't think Chas V'Shalom would take a bus. But what is it? 6617, 614, 417? Whatever, 600, whatever. You're on the bus. And you get a good seat. And now the next stop comes. And oh, God, what happens? The worst thing in the world. You just get comfortable in the seat. You put your AirPods in. And who gets on the bus? Some old guy gets on the bus. You know what you're supposed to do. You also know that the ride's going to be an hour and a half. So now what can you do? Very simple. You're on your ed parts already. Go do one of these. You know, you're pretending you're sleeping. And nobody can say anything to you. You're sleeping. Achar pulasol nimshach levavos. You know what it says? It says like this. When you're sitting in your seat and that old man comes on the bus, your body all of a sudden stands up without you even knowing that you just stood up. You're like, oh, right. Old person. Of course. And then when the old person says, no, I'm okay, I want to stand the whole bus ride, you say, no, absolutely not. I can't sit if you're standing. And the guy looks at you and he says, no, really, I'm okay. And you're like, okay, old man, shove you in the seat. Sit down and play save a zucker, you know? And then it's like, it's me. And I'm like, I'm only 49. I'm not that old. Huh? That's Acher Pulosu Nimshach Lavavos. That's saying to the Rabbanu Shalom, no, this is who I am. I can't explain it. It's just who I am, right? Guys come up to me all the time and they say, Rebbe, how do we make Minyan important to us? So I said, well, let me start by the following. Do you go to Minyan? No. I'm like, okay, start that. Start going to Minyan a bit. You want to feel it to mean? I always say this to the American guys. You want to feel it to mean something? Look at your sitter. It's in Hebrew. You understand any of the words there? Take an English sitter. And I think that is the key halacha over here. Yes, la halacha, the army soldier who finds himself nebuch in Gaza, who finds himself even in, unfortunately, in a house in the south, And he knows there's no way possible. These people are not coming back. And there's a refrigerator full of... It's all going to go bad. So of course, the family... Can you imagine the family going to the family and saying, listen, I want to apologize to you. I did something terrible. I was in your house. What did you do? I finished your milk. Is it milk? For a month, the milk would be horrible. I'm not saying it's usher. 100% not usher. I'm not saying if he needs it and it's going to help him, it's going to strengthen him. That's the midrash of the Makom. But if he thinks a little bit, then he says to himself, I stole this. That's what Rav Rimon, I think, was saying. I think it's fascinating. And it really proves what Am Yisrael is about. The last tshuva, just to have a little fun, we won't do the tshuva inside, don't worry. It's a little scary. Was a tshuva that was sent to the Aseilich HaRav, Rav Chaim David Alevi. Chaim David Alevi was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He should have been the chief rabbi of Israel. It's a long story why he didn't get that position. He refused to join Shas. And he has this in a tshuva, but I found this in my father, Shlita, who's here. So he used to get every year from my grandfather, Zatzal, Shana B'Shana. Right? Remember the Shana B'Shanas. So in the Shana B'Shana, they ask the following question. We'll do the question outside. But listen to this cute question. So now it's Pesach time. Let's move to Pesach. It's Pesach time. And finally, after all the years, the son-in-law decides, the wife convinces the son, her husband, let's go to my parents for Pesach. Like the worst thing in the world. But let's go to my parents for Pesach. So he's like, okay, fine. So he calls his father-in-law and says, listen, I have children, your grandchildren. We have everybody has their little halachas that they do. You can run the Seder, but my minhagim have to stay minhagim. He says, okay, okay, what do I care? Ma'achpati. So he says, well, tell me what your minhagim are. I wonder if they have strange minhagim. So he says, you know, one of the biggest things that we do at the Seder is we want to keep the kids up. So we do all these crazy things, right? The rabbi, we do all these crazy things to keep the kids up, right? In fact, the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says, it was just a suggestion. You should do many more things. What the halacha tells us, right? So he says, what's one of the things that we do? The following. We take the afikomen, and what do we do with it? What do we call it? What do you do with the afikom in your house? No?
Hide it, steal it.
Right. So in Hebrew, it sounds a little bit better. Chotvim, gonvim et afikom. Gonvim et afikom. Right? And then, you know, the father comes to say, oh my God, who stole my afikom? And then, then you have to do a masa umatan. What do you want? And the kid's like, $30,000 cash. I'm like, no. He's like, okay, a bike. I'm like, okay, sure. So the grandfather says, wait, what did you just say? What'd you say? Geneva tafikom. And he's like, you teach your kids to steal? He's like, grandpa, calm down. He says, this is his father-in-law. Like, calm down, okay? I know you're crazy, but like, not in my house. I will not allow people to steal the afikomen in my house. There's no stealing allowed. You know, like, so they asked Rav Chaim David Levi this question. It's a very cute question. So he starts off by saying, okay, cute question. This is the father-in-law, of course, asked the question. And he writes, She'ein anochi maskim b'shum panim she'esh kan geneva kalakla. First of all, this is not called stealing. Okay, be quiet. It's not stealing. And then he goes through the sugya that we've already discussed, which is, even as a joke, you can't do geneva. It's not even a joke. This is not called, okay, we call it, it's not called stealing. Stop it. Then he discusses the halachic inyanim, if it's actually appropriate to steal. It's kind of funny. The reason why we do the whole thing with chotvim is actually the opposite, probably lahalach, of what we were supposed to do. Somebody was actually supposed to keep the afikomen in safe standing, right? Shmira, that was one of the things that we did in the Torah of the Korban Pesach. There had to be a shomer of the Korban Pesach. So this is ke'ein a shomer. It can't be a kid that is not a baldas. It can't be somebody who's under bar mitzvah. It's the opposite. It's we actually are keeping it with a gadol from the kid so he doesn't steal it, because there have been many, many cases where the kid steals out the comb and they do the ransom, like $30,000, no, whatever, this is it, $10,000. And like, no, he's like, a bike, shkoya. They agree on the bike. He's like, okay, get me the afikomen. He's like, yes, I don't know where I put it. And they spend an hour and they can't find the afikomen. This happens a lot. So, okay, it's true that maybe it's not the greatest thing to do. But he writes, he quotes the Chok Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Eicher is like the number one Pesach Pesach. And he says, Ve'efshur shemizeh nishpashet ha-minag shemenichin latinokos b'nisele choyt v'nafikomen. It's a minag for sure. And that's the mucker of what you call gazela. He says, that's not a gazela. He says, I'm sorry. He says, Adkan. I know you hate your son-in-law, but we're not going to go that far. Anyway, Yotzimit Vareinu. I think it's a really important and beautiful sugya. It's really what I call the, a Mika Amcha Yisrael sugya. It shows Klal Yisrael how careful we are with other people's money and how careful we are not to be seen in the wrong way, going back to our Marasayan sugya. And I think that it's something to keep in mind during these days, that we should be exceedingly careful with what we do, and we should be a nation that continues Achu Puloso Nimshach Lavavos. Because I think that one of the amazing things, as we started off by saying, and what you should be focusing on more than anything else, is the good that people are doing. Keep that in your mind. The great things, mamash, within our own, few streets here, what people are doing, what people are collecting for, and so on and so forth. My daughter went to a bunch of families that are staying in Beit Shemesh from the south. She said that the mom was crying. She said, okay, all these people brought the towels. And she said, let me give you my number. She said, these are yours. We got them from a hotel. We don't want them. No, I'm getting it. Right? Mika Amcha Yisrael. Nobody's thinking of getting this stuff back. Are you crazy? Right? And even in my son's base, my son tells me, everybody. He says, it's almost funny. This one brought pizza. It was in the Haredi family. A bunch of families came from Beitar. And they came and they bought them Burgers Bar, and they said, please, we can't do it. We're sorry that we can't do more. Take it, at least take this. He says, it's an amazing, amazing thing. So we should, during that time, this is what we should keep in mind of this idea of Achru Pulosul, Nimshach Lavavos, and Amir Tz Hashem, we should only have Besarius Taipas.